Well, I can give my standard answer that I give to students, and I can give perhaps a non-standard answer. The standard answer, which I'm sure most historians of evolution would give, is that you simply can't understand the present day in any sense, really, without understanding the French Revolution, because some of the main building blocks of our thought and our society come specifically from the French Revolution. You can't, above all, you can't understand democracy, the modern concept of democracy, without the French Revolution. You can't understand liberalism and more limited democracy without understanding the French Revolution, and also by extension the Enlightenment, which gives birth to so much of it. You certainly can't understand modern nationalism without understanding the French Revolution, because really modern nationalism is born from the expansion of France as a result of the revolution, beginning with the wars of 1792 onwards. And you also can't understand, I'd argue, you can't understand socialism or communism without the revolution, because in its most radical phase, I don't think you can actually call Robespierre a socialist or a communist, because he didn't actually believe in the nationalisation of the means of production, distribution and exchange, and he didn't believe in the abolition of private property, though he did, of course, believe in the equalisation of private property. On the other hand, his followers and the people who semi-deified him after his death, people like Babeuf with the Conspiracy of Equals, and Buonarroti, can be regarded as communists. So there's a clear process linking Robespierre to socialism and communism as well. So all of those basic building blocks of modern society and modern political thought basically come from the French Revolution. In terms of today, and as a student, as a historian, if I may say, of revolution myself, I think we're at a very interesting stage in modern history, and certainly British history at this stage, because what I was taught about how revolutions begin, and I was taught this very much by reading William Doyle's classic Origins of the French Revolution, first edition 1980, and several subsequent editions, is that regimes aren't overthrown, they destroy themselves through their own internal contradictions. Regimes collapse, a vacuum is created into which the revolutionary forces are pulled, centripetally, you might say, rather than thus of themselves overthrowing a block of an old regime. And therefore, I've always been very attuned, I think, having read that and doing my first work really on the fall of the old regime, rather than actually the revolution itself. I didn't move to that for some years. Realising from that, thinking about the circumstances in which political systems and regimes become fragile and fall. And it seems to me that at the moment in Britain, in a political system that, you know, for 300 years at least has been famed for its stability, we are beginning to see hairline cracks, signs of fragility, signs of instability in the political system. Obviously, Brexit is the most obvious symptom at the moment. But having thought for many years that our happy, stable, tolerant history made us a nice exception from the rest of Europe with its revolutionary and its unstable past, we might actually be moving more into an unstable period ourselves, in which we could learn certain lessons from the beginnings of the French Revolution.